When Dr. McTavish decided to retire, there was a scramble of candidates for his job. He would leave in the springtime. It was custom for him to not support a successor. Sandy Hums immediately applied for the job. So did Dirk Willamore. There was one other candidate from outside of the district, but he was not viewed as a serious candidate. McTavish had set up Middle Hills on a corporate model. His administrators were among the highest paid in the state, and McTavish knew that would inspire their loyalty. It did. As far as Sandy and Dirk were concerned, he walked on water. Ron had to admit that he was impressed. McTavish rarely spoke to him, electing to keep the chain of command and work through Sandy, but he knew everything. McTavish had spoken to each of his in-house candidates and told them that he could not endorse either of them, but that the Board of Education could not make a mistake with either of them. There was whispering and the setting of alliances throughout the district. The English department became a hotbed of rumor. Since Sonia Goldman, one of the senior English teachers, who Ron believed was well past her prime, if she had one, was the wife of a board member. Ron stayed away from it all. He had no desire for a promotion. He was sure that if Sandy got the job, that Bill Matthews would be her assistant superintendent. Matthews had confided this to Ron, and he was fine with it. Audie Riffle's sphincter tightened each time he thought about Sandy Hums as his boss. That would signal time for his retirement as well, because he knew that Sandy would use him as a whipping boy from now until the day he left. He tried to glean some information from Ron. "You know, I've always liked you, Ronnie, even when that nasty business happened with that bitch, Darlene Lerner. I was really on your side." Ron nodded, not believing a word of it. He remembered the humiliation of the 3 days he spent without an office door because of Audie. He knew by now that Audie had the reputation as a leech who was banging his secretary and had tried to work his slimy way into the pants of every woman in the district that he found attractive. "I'm sure you were, Audie. I never doubted your support." "You know, she's got no chance. The board will never support a woman as the superintendent. Dirk has already made it clear that he would do the job for 3 years and then retire. The board will like that." McTavish's retirement was a milestone in the administrative lineup in the Department of Education. His tenure for superintendents had been eliminated. McTavish was one of the last tenured superintendents to go. The Board of Education was gleeful at their newfound power. Everyone was now jockeying for position. Sandy and Dirk were colleagues who more often than not were on the same side of an issue. Neither would have a problem being passed over for the other. They were both part of McTavish's team. They were both shocked when the Board of Education passed them both over and went with the outside candidate. Leonidas Stavros was chosen to succeed McTavish. He had no secondary school experience. He was considered to be a politician who could pass budgets. He was active in state organizations, and his wife was a high-priced lawyer. Ron had never seen Sandy so angry. She sat venting in the board office with Ron and Bill. Of all the short-sighted, wrong-headed decisions that they could have made, they chose this fool, and now I'm supposed to work for him? He knows nothing about how this district works, and when McTavish reached out and said that he would give him all the help that he needed, he met with him for 1 hour and was none too interested. "I agree with you," said Bill. "They think that you'll run the district and he will take care of the politics. I don't think they meant it as a slight to you." Let's face it, Bill. I didn't get hired because I'm not a man, declared Sandy. They could never have been comfortable with a woman leading them. That's why I was convinced they were going to choose Dirk. Ron was quiet. He was still the newbie in this group. He would do better to listen. He was sure that he would have been happier working for Sandy than working for Bill, who he had found to be a math head who was not all that interested in creativity. Bill would always leave that to Sandy and Ron. He's a fool, and I'm going to have to save the district from this fool, but I don't have to like it. The good news is that he won't do anything to block any of our plans. He won't want to butt against me this early on. He wouldn't know how to, even if he did. So we soldier on, and we run things the way that we know they are supposed to be run.